If you would, to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 3. Follow along in your Bibles, be most helpful. Those of you who are near my age or older will appreciate this reference. A man named Roland Stewart, a.k.a. Rainbow Man, made his first public debut on the American sports scene in 1977, the NBA Finals. Initially, he merely wore a large colored Afro wig and he danced around wildly in front of the camera. In 1980, Stewart was sitting in a hotel room watching a televangelist by the name of Charles R. Taylor. Stewart says that his heart was warmed by the message of the gospel, and he decided then and there to follow Jesus. Thus he became what he called a born-again Christian. Stewart then went on a mission to share his new faith. He chose to continue his Rainbow Man antics while coming up with the idea of adding a large John 3:16 sign to his repertoire. And those of you like me remember watching Monday Night Football and seeing this guy always in the end zone with his John 3:16 sign. For the next decade, he traveled the globe to display John 3:16. Among the events he attended, the Olympics, the World Cup, NFL playoff games, the Indy 500, the Masters, horse races, and even the wedding of Prince Charles and Lady Diane. I would love to see a picture of that again. He claimed he drove over 60,000 miles a year to attend sporting events. He was able to figure out the prime positioning where he should stand for a sign to be seen by carrying with him a portable television, seeing where the cameras were focused, and he made his way to that point. Sports television producers began to loathe him, believing his antics detracted from the action on the field. Some producers asked cameramen to refrain from showing Stewart, going so far as to threaten their jobs if they showed him on television. Unfortunately for Stewart, and for those who were impacted by his John 3:16 sign, Stewart started acting irrational and eventually even cruel. He began practicing more negative tactics to get attention. He blew horns at golf matches while men were putting. He detonated stink bombs where large crowds were gathered for events. His personal life became a wreck as well. He was broke from traveling to so many events, and his wife claimed physical abuse, and she left him. By the 1990s, he was homeless and living in his car. Finally, Stewart went over the edge when in September of 1992, Stewart locked himself in a hotel room in Los Angeles, a Hyatt Regent, and made threats to shoot airplanes as they were landing and taking off. He held a Hyatt mage hostage. He plastered religious verses on the windows and held a standoff with the police for 8 hours. The SWAT teams were eventually able to break in his room. They found handgun with 2 ammunition clips and 47 live ammunition rounds. Stewart is currently serving out 3 life terms at Mule Creek Prison in Ione, California. Such is not a story that you would think would describe a man who is truly born again. It is not a story of any man who believed that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now understand, please, that I am in no way saying that I know the spiritual state of Roland Stewart. That would be arrogant for anyone to make such a judgment. I only say that such an outcome is not expected when you hear of someone who claimed to be born again. What Roland Stewart's life choices reveal is that the fallen condition of humanity shows that we have a lot of needs. In this section of Scripture from John chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 21, there is revealed the needs of humanity, the needs that we have, that we might have our new birth stick. And by stick, I mean remain, that our newborn life would carry us through to the end of our days, that we would not leave our Savior. From verse 1 through 8, it is revealed that we need to be born of spirit. That is our first need, to be born of spirit. From verse 9 through 17, it is revealed that we have a need for understanding. And in verses 18 through 21, it is revealed that we have a need for faith. And how appropriate that is on Reformation Sunday. And let us now look first at the need to be born of spirit. If you have heard Bible studies, read commentaries, and heard sermons about Nicodemus coming to Jesus, described here by John, you know that the detail of him coming at night to see Jesus indicates the angst that he felt. After all, he was a Pharisee who was supposed to be challenging Jesus, and yet he was a man who had his conscience moved by the teachings of Jesus. He comes at night to talk to Jesus so that he is not seen by his peers. But let us not look down on him for the simple reason that at least he comes to Jesus. Very few Pharisees did. Nicodemus was challenged by the miracles that Jesus did. He knew the Scriptures. He knew what was expected of the Messiah. The Messiah was to do such miracles. They were signs. And Jesus fit those signs. But the manner Nicodemus mentions signs indicates that he needs more. And Jesus, knowing that he needs more, tells him what he needs. Every person who wants to see the kingdom of God must be born again. The word see indicates a beginning point. It's not finished when you've been born again. It's not finished, but it must start there. The kingdom of God will not be realized in a person's life until that person is born again. The response that Nicodemus gives to Jesus is really more of a challenge. What Jesus said sounded ridiculous to him. His question back to Jesus was more rhetorical. He knew that no one could re-enter their mother's womb, and thus he knew that such could not be what Jesus was saying. What do you mean, Jesus? But Nicodemus was not yet born anew himself, and so he could not, at this point, see. He could not comprehend. He didn't know that he was not alive spiritually. That he didn't yet have the ability to understand what Jesus was saying. Christians continue to be tempted towards frustration when we cannot communicate with those of the world. We cannot get through to them. We try logic, and it doesn't work. We share our testimonies, and it doesn't work. We declare God's word, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work because people of the world are spiritually dead. They cannot see or hear God. And being spiritually dead, they do not have eyes to see what the Spirit reveals. Being spiritually dead, they do not have ears to hear the truth. They're like what we were, or how we would be, if the Spirit of God had not breathed life, spiritual life, on us, into us. We know the sin of Adam caused spiritual death within the human race. Although each earthly child that is born breathing is breathing in the oxygen of this world, they are not breathing in the breath of eternal life. Such breathing only happens when God gives such life, utterly dependent upon Him. Historically, the church has interpreted the words of Jesus and His response to say that a person must be born of water and spirit as a reference to being born in baptism and then born by the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, we see a connection between being baptized in water and being born again by the Spirit. And there is a great mystery in all of this. The words of Jesus reveal that mystery when He describes the Holy Spirit being like the wind. It is unpredictable. And yet, you are very much aware when that wind does blow. Do not our life experience reveal this unpredictability of the Holy Spirit, where from our vantage point, a person seems far from God, and the Holy Spirit moves upon him, giving him new birth. New birth, a sinner being born again, is the greatest miracle we are privileged to experience and to witness. I want to underline that. Consider that to heal a knee, well, that's remarkable. A person had a bad knee, they now have a good knee, we pray, they're healed, that's remarkable. To calm cancer cells and bring them in line, that's glorious. They had cancer, they don't have cancer anymore. But to move the will of a human being, to move the will into humility, repentance, into faith, that is the greatest of miracles. And Jesus is still doing them. The next part of the conversation reveals the human need to understand. We have to love the Lord with our mind to understand. Nicodemus is honest regarding his inability to comprehend what Jesus has said to him. And I would say that this is a good sign for Nicodemus, admitting he doesn't understand. It has been said that learning, the simple act of learning, is like conversion. Each person must begin by admitting that they are inadequate before he or she can accept or receive new knowledge. Each person must acknowledge that he or she does not know, and thus they have fallen short. Each person must confess that he or she needs to know. And the rebuke Jesus gives to Nicodemus might be hard for sensitive ears, but not for ears that are truly wanting to know. But Jesus tells Nicodemus, all Pharisees, all Sadducees needed to hear, needed to accept. They thought of themselves and presented themselves to their fellow man as leaders, teachers. As leaders and teachers, they were to be in the know. They were to be the one that people asked questions of. They were to be the source of truth. And yet, they could not understand what is basic to knowing the kingdom of God. Let us be reminded of what blinded these Pharisees and these Sadducees. It was the sin of personal pride. Pride, personal pride, is the most base of sins. Pride is looking at oneself as not needing outside help, as if self is a finished product and thus no need for further revelation. It is most helpful to know that any time someone is telling us that we don't know, and we lie and we say that we do know, that it is personal pride that has won over our soul. When we are asked a question that we should know, and we don't know, and we try to cover up our lack of not knowing, it is the sin of pride to which we have submitted. Overcome the sin of pride within you, and a Pharisee you will never be. And Jesus continues his explanation of what the kingdom of God really is. And I want us to note that Jesus doesn't make it easy for Nicodemus. Remember that Jesus is recorded in Mark, and Luke, to quote Isaiah, for an explanation of why he taught with parables. The simple teacher assumes that Jesus teaches in parables so that people could understand more clearly, as if a story approach works best. Fact is, the exact opposite. Jesus told his disciples that he taught in parables so that, quote, seeing, the people may not perceive, and hearing, that they may not understand. Jesus did not make it easy for people who allowed personal pride to rule them. He did not make it easy to follow him. They had to get rid of that personal pride. And those of us who have been given eyes to see and ears to hear, because we have been given new life by the Holy Spirit, can readily see how basic these teachings are to Nicodemus. The one coming down from heaven, well, that's Jesus. Jesus is the Son of Man, he calls himself. That is the title the prophet Daniel gave the one that we hoped for, the Messiah. The day Moses lifted up a bronze serpent so that all that looked upon that staff with the bronze serpent would be healed from those snake bites, poisonous snake bites. Guilty they were because of idol worship. That scene was a setup for what Jesus was to do for all of mankind. That scene in the desert with Moses was a shadow of what all persons need to look up to. It was a sign to say that all need to look up to Jesus on the cross in order to be healed from the poison venom of death that has infected all of us. And next described is the good news that the only requirement of mankind is individual belief. By grace, we are saved through faith. That is all that is required to receive the gift of eternal life. And the reason why individual belief is all that is required is summed up in that wonderful John 3:16. It is because God did it all. God loved. This is the true God. He is the God that loves. Not just love itself, but God's love starts it all. Not just love itself, God's love. God is always initiating relationship with humanity. And the reason he does that, the reason he initiates relationship, the reason that he wants to be our God and for us to be his people, his love. God so loved. Next, after love, God gave his Son. You realize that is what the story of God instructing Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, that's what that story shouts to us. It was always the plan of God to offer his Son. And it is his only Son. Adam was the firstborn of humanity, but Jesus was always God's Son. Here is the mystery of the Trinity displayed. God is one, but the Father and the Son are two different persons. The Son Jesus always was and always was to be given for humanity. Belief in the Son of Man is specific. Faith does not save if faith does not have the correct object. Faith must be in God's Son to be a saving faith. And it is faith, let there be no mistake, in Jesus alone. There is no other way to the Heavenly Father, thus there is no other way to heaven. Last week, in a conversation during Sunday school, I remarked that there are certain entertainers that I boycott. One of those is Oprah Winfrey. And I realize that some of you here might listen to her, respect her, maybe even heed her. I will not say that she is not a good person. I will say that she preaches a religion that resembles universalism. She denies that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Now understand, please, that to say such is in direct opposition to what we are hearing from Jesus in this passage. For anyone to believe that there is a different way to heaven than by Jesus as the Son of God, that's just blasphemous. It is saying that God is a fool. He didn't need to send His Son. There's other ways. Such is false teaching and nothing less. And Jesus follows the succinct gospel of John 3:16 by saying it a little different in John 3:17. God did not send Jesus to condemn the world because He loves the world. God sent His only Son to save the world because without Him it cannot be saved. Now, the last portion of the teaching of Jesus in this section of Scripture reveals the need of faith for humanity. You remember the book of Hebrews telling us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Faith goes beyond empirical evidence. Faith is otherworldly. Faith is from God. Faith is a gift from God. Faith is a gift from God, but it must be practiced by us. That's part of our job. Faith in Jesus as the Son of God and the Savior of humanity saves us from condemnation. Without faith, Jesus says here, we are condemned not only in the future, where we will give account for all of our sins. But we are condemned now. Even now. Those who do not believe stand condemned now. To be condemned now is to be under the curse of Adam. It is to remain dead in the spirit. And Jesus now closes His words to Nicodemus by declaring a great contrast between those who are born of the Spirit and those who remain dead to the Spirit. Those who remain dead in spirit hate the light. They hate the light because it exposes their sin. Under the light, they have to see themselves for who they truly are. And they don't like to see themselves for who they truly are. In contrast, those who are born of the Spirit, well, they want the light. They want the light so that they might see themselves. They want to see themselves so that they can repent, have sins revealed, and then have them cleansed. That is being alive in the Spirit. They want to see themselves because their good deeds are done for God. And when people see their good deeds, God is pleased because God is honored. A very great gift for those who are born of the Spirit is a guilt-free conscience. Amen. I don't know what happened to Rainbow Man Roland Stewart. Listening to that televangelist where he claims to have been born of the Spirit of God. According to the words of Jesus to Nicodemus. A man born of the Spirit will not hold a maid hostage at a hotel room with a loaded gun. What we know from these words of Jesus is that God has done so very much for us to be forgiven, that we who claim to be born of the Spirit, well, we're to live out that new life, live out being born again. John 3:3, John 3:16, are very much more than signs to be held up or slogans to recite. They are the good news of salvation. If you have never felt alive in the Spirit, if you have avoided the light, today is the day of your salvation. Believe that God sent His only Son. Believe Jesus is the Messiah. And new life in the Spirit is yours. Let us pray.